Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Perception versus Reality Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, yeah.
What do you got?
I got here a little story sent to me by my ex-neighbor, Everett Miller, from that street I used to live on.
Does that mean he moved away screaming?
He did, yeah. Here it is. There's a little introduction here. It says, everyone's been guilty of looking at another person and saying, geez, I can't look that old. You know, you see someone who's sort of your age and you say, oh, I can't look that old. You've probably done the same thing. So you may like this story, it says. And here it is. While waiting for my first appointment in the reception room of a new dentist, I noticed his certificate, which bore his full name. Suddenly, I remembered that a tall kid with the same name had been in my high school class like 40 years ago. When I saw him, I quickly discarded any such thought. I mean, he was balding, he was gray-haired, deeply lined face. He was really much too old to have been my classmate.
Yeah.
So he looks at my teeth, and I ask him if he went to high school.
My tooth?
He looks at my tooth, and I ask him if he went to the same high school that I went to. And he says, yeah, I did. When did you graduate? I say. He says, 1957. I say, you were in my class. He looks at me, stands back, stares, and he says, what did you teach? That's sad, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's
that hurts. That yeah. really hurts.
What did you teach?
What did you teach?
Well, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Caitlin, and I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you?
With a C or a K?
I'm good.
Caitlin with a C.
With a C.
Yeah.
Okay, from Cambridge, Mass?
Mm-hmm.
What part of Cambridge?
Well, right now I'm in Harvard Square.
Tommy's favorite part because, you know, Tommy spent... How many years did you spend in Harvard Square?
Two. Just two. Well, I mean, totally in Harvard Square without leaving anywhere else.
Yeah.
That was just two.
Just 2 years.
But I spent about 10 roaming around.
Yeah, trying to find his way out. Anyway, what's going on, Caitlin?
Wait a minute. I want to know what part of Cambridge she lives in.
She said Harvard Square.
Well, I live in North Cambridge.
Oh.
Is that okay?
It's okay, but it's not my part of town.
Well, I drive a 94 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I've noticed that in the morning, when I turn on the car to warm up and defrost while I scrape the windshield, the car just starts to roll backwards, and then I have to hop in it and slam on the brakes, and even when I pull the emergency brake, it's still... And then I go out to scrape my car. Then it still rolls.
Wait, is this a stick shift car?
No, it's an automatic.
And you got it in park?
Yeah.
And the brake is on and it's rolling?
Yeah. And so now I just don't turn on my car when I scrape. So
good move.
Yeah. And there's something else that I think may be related.
We don't want too much information yet.
Okay.
But when it rolls,
mm-hmm.
What's the farthest that you've let it roll before you've jumped in and stopped it?
A couple feet.
Oh.
A couple of feet.
Yeah. It rolls pretty fast.
And are you parked on a slant, on a hill?
It's pretty flat.
Pretty flat.
Ah, but it's not rolling backwards.
I don't think it's rolling backwards
It's actually almost in reverse.
It is in reverse.
Really?
Well, if it were fully in reverse...
It would take off.
It would take off, especially with the engine idling fast.
But it's not in park.
It's not in park, even though you think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so we think that somehow or another, when you turn the key and you put the key in the ignition, you turn it,
uh-huh.
and you start it up, it is starting to come out of park, even though it's not supposed to. And I'm going
to
guess that the shifter linkage is out of adjustment.
Exactly.
Oh.
So now tell us the other piece of information that will completely destroy this theory. That's why we didn't want to know too much to start with.
Well, we're in complete agreement on this, though, so far.
Okay. Well, the other part is that for a couple years now, sometimes when I go to turn the car on, probably about 70% of the time...
It doesn't start.
Right. The lights go on.
Excellent!
Yes!
And you have to push it into park?
I either push it further into park or a mechanic once told me that I could put it into neutral and start it there.
Well, you could, but this piece of information, if anything... corroborates our previous theory.
How about that?
Jesus, it's hard to believe.
Wait a minute. We look out the window. Hell must have frozen over. Well, anyway.
No, it's the linkage.
Yeah, it's either the linkage or you've got a broken mount or some such thing, you know, a transmission mount.
But
something that has either caused the linkage to go out of adjustment because the transmission is moved. Or the thing is just out of adjustment, or the cable is stretched, or some such thing.
Okay, is one of those problems expensive, and one of them not as expensive?
No, they're both expensive.
Okay.
No, I mean,
but you really ought to have it looked at, because if this gets worse, I mean, it's the sort of thing where you can have a runaway car.
I don't want that.
You don't want that?
No,
absolutely not.
And it is going to get worse.
Okay.
And the next time it happens, it's likely that instead of just gently moving away, it's going to bolt on you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you got to have someone look at it and do it soon.
Okay.
See you, Caitlin.
Great, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, wait a minute. She's in Cambridge. She could kill us. Yeah, get it fixed right away, because I'll be riding my bike pretty soon.
Yeah.
And I've already gotten killed once in Hobbit Square.
And he wears a red helmet, so keep an eye out for
him.
See you, Kate.
Seriously, get it looked at as soon as you can.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Rachel from Waterbury, Connecticut.
Hi, Rachel.
Rachel. You mean Waterbury, Connecticut?
Connecticut.
Do you happen to know what the proper pronunciation is?
Of Connecticut?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's Connecticut.
You're quick. You're quick, Rachel. I guess you do know, huh?
I do. I used to live where you guys live.
Oh, yeah?
Did you? Where?
I lived in the Harvard grad housing.
Oh, you
excuse us.
Did.
Yeah, but I wasn't really a Harvard grad student.
Oh, you we don't need to know.
You were in keep that quiet.
Did you have a boyfriend that was a Harvard grad student?
I had a cousin.
Oh,
an interloper, huh?
An interloper.
Yeah,
I was a Brandeisian.
Isn't it great to interlope?
It's great.
So anyway, tell us what's going on in Connecticut.
Well, I got this 2000 Saab. I bought it 2 years ago. It's a 9.5.
Uh huh.
A couple months after I got it, every once in a while, I would notice that it would make this odd smell in the car. And, you know, I'd be driving somewhere, and I'd look at my son, and I'd say, was that you? And he'd look at me, and he'd say, was that you? And I'd say, no.
Yeah, he won't be long before he's looking at you, and he'll be right.
Never. I never did. So, you know, I really didn't pay much attention to it, but it does happens. Like, every once in a while, it doesn't seem to be associated with anything. It lasts for about, you know, like, the smell comes, and then it goes away after about 20 seconds. But it's definitely... definitely there.
But it's that rotten egg smell that we associate typically with having eaten beans the day before.
You got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do we call that?
Farting.
Yes.
No,
flatulence.
I was going to call it hydrogen sulfide.
Yeah, we call it flatulence.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's coming from your exhaust system.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's coming from the...
Well, it's the only place where you can get the right combination of chemicals.
He didn't mean your personal right.
Exhaust system.
I mean, the car's exhaust system.
Really is a car fart, then.
Yeah. It is a car fart, so
I
to speak.
See.
And what's happening is the catalytic converter is having trouble processing the sulfur that's in the gasoline.
What kind of gas do you use? The same brand all the time?
No, it's like wherever I happen to be closest to the gas.
Wherever the needle's on empty.
I let it go all the way down to the red, and then I put something in it.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. As we know, maybe you don't know this, but this was proven by Cosmo Kramer, that Saabs especially can go well beyond when the needle says they're on empty.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, yeah. It was in one of the episodes of Seinfeld. He was test driving
really?
A Saab, I think, and they just kept going and going and going and going. And Kramer said, we're going for it!
My boyfriend gets so mad at me when it goes on empty.
Oh, tell him not to worry, because Saabs can go forever. After it heats empty, you can go another 400 or 500 miles, I think.
Oh, that's good. That's wonderful.
But you know what happens? I think you'll get the smell. I had a Dodge Dakota pickup truck that did this, and I would always get the smell when I pulled into my driveway.
Uh-huh.
And when I stopped, the smell caught up with me.
Huh.
And did your wife give you a dope slap about that time?
No, because the whole time it was doing it, the people behind me were dropping like flies, but I was leaving the smell in my wake. And then when I stopped, and the smell kind of enveloped the vehicle,
yeah.
And I remember that I bought it brand new, and I called the dealer, and they said, yeah, we'll do something, and I think they changed the catalytic converter, but it made no difference.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't, and what I discovered was eventually it went away, and I also found a brand of gas that seemed to agree with the thing more than the other brands.
Okay.
And I stuck with that, and that seemed to do it. But I'm not going to guarantee that that's going to do it. But you might want to experiment buying one brand of gas all the time.
Okay.
But it's
so
not...
you can trace it from the smell to the brand.
Really?
And then if well, you may know... find out there's only one brand that's doing it, and all the other 12 brands that you're buying are okay.
So that's very interesting. So it's really the food that the car can tolerate.
You got it.
Exactly. It has an allergy to one of the foods that it's eating.
But nothing to worry about.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks
See you,
so
Rachel.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
You guys, I'm telling you guys, keep somebody laughing. If you don't make anybody happy, there's no happiness for them.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
I'm T.W. Williams from Buffalo, New York, to Nickel City.
Yeah.
Nickel City, right.
Yeah.
Been a cold winter up there, ATW?
It's good weather. Good weather. This weather put hair on your chest. Good weather.
Yeah.
You need hair on your chest. Yeah, and a few other places, too.
That would be a bear.
I have a 97 Chevy Venture minivan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when I started up, for the first 10 or 15 minutes, whether it be winter or summer, I can hear clanging underneath, like maybe lifters or something. I get a clanging noise. But after that, the engine run is smooth as silk after that. But it will do it. I can shut the car off for half an hour, 45 minutes, and it'll do the same thing again.
When you say clanging, could it be this kind of a sound? Bang, 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 bang.
Okay, it's in other words, it sounds like maybe it's low in oil.
Is it like a tick 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 tick?
Yeah, well, all of the above.
So well, I think you put your finger on it.
But okay. It's how many miles are on this thing, by the way?
Now it's 146,000.
146. I had a feeling it was right up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now when I got it, it had 116,000, but it's been doing it ever since I had it.
Mm-hmm. Well. I have a theory. Now, I know my brother thinks it's lifters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
It could be, but I'm going to ask another question. I want you to think very carefully, TW, before you give the answer. Is it possible that the noise lasts longer in cold weather and not quite as long in hot weather? Now, I don't.
Very, very carefully. I think it lasts a tad bit longer in the wintertime.
That's good enough for me.
I use basically 30 weight. One time I put 40 weight in there, but I figured that's too heavy for the wintertime. I change your oil. I try to change your oil every 2 weeks because I am running it as a cab, but I take very good care of my car, and I change your oil every 2 weeks.
Oh, this is the cab.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I think what you have is not lifters, but I think you have a condition called piston slap.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Give the guy a break.
That's what he's doing, trying to break me.
He's trying to break you. That's right.
The 146,000 miles, I think, is the telling piece of information here, because the forces at work after 146,000 miles cause the pistons to wear out, and more than that, the cylinders...
Loosen.
To get oblong shape instead of round.
Oh, okay.
And so that what happens is when the engine is cold and the pistons are cold, there's too much room between the pistons and the cylinders, and you're hearing the piston slapping against the cylinder wall as it descends.
I knew that.
You knew that?
No, I didn't.
But I think that's what you have. And you know, you said you went to what, 40 weight oil?
I tried 40 weight one time, yes.
Well, you might want to try... in the warmer weather, at least, going to maybe a 20W50, and maybe using some of the fine additives that are available to the automotive.
My brother
public.
Is trying to prevent the cost of this going up beyond what you would like to hear about.
Okay, now what are the fine additives?
Well, you need something called Piston Builder. I don't know what's out there. I mean, basically, you're going to try things like Slick 50 or STP.
Okay.
I mean, the long and the short of it is, ultimately, you're going to need to tear down the engine and replace the pistons and bore out the cylinders and all that. But you're looking at a couple of $1,000 to do that.
Well, I'd be better off probably going to a remanufactured engine then, eh?
Well, right.
Yeah.
You're, exactly.
You probably would.
You get a rebuilt engine and have somebody plunk it in. If the rest of the van is in good shape.
Yeah, it is.
Then you might as well put an engine in. But there's no hurry. I mean, the fact that it makes noise in and of itself is not particularly bad. You just can't pick up any customers for that first half hour. They say, what the hell is that noise, TW? Let me out of this thing.
I'm kind of used to it now. I really don't pull off for the first 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But at first when I heard it, it bothered me. It bothered me, you know, because I'm very sensitive to my automobile. But I'm used to it now. But the car's in great shape.
Does your cab have a good sound system? Can you drown this out?
Well, only one problem there by me being a minister. The only thing I play is gospel.
Well, that's okay.
That's loud enough.
That nice four-part harmony in there, you won't even hear that piston slap.
Okay. I'll take your advice.
TW, good luck, but if you need to at some point, consider an engine, because that's going to fix it.
All right.
Good luck, TW.
I am coming to Boston pretty soon. I have a sister there, so.
We'll know it's you. We'll hear the ticking.
you hear me before I get there.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hey, let's discuss last week's puzzle. What do you say?
Sure, let's discuss it. I've been meaning to discuss this puzzle with you anyway.
And what did you want to discuss?
No. You go first.
You don't remember last week's puzzle, do you?
That's what I wanted to discuss.
Okay, well, last week's puzzle was about a flat tire on a Volkswagen Beetle, and we'll be back with the answer along with more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
You're the mud on my windshield. Bitter grounds in my coffee cup. You're the mud on my windshield. Bitter grounds in my coffee cup. My river with no water.
And even though Carthusian monks send us brochures on the benefits of a lifetime of silence whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And,
yeah.
And this puzzler was automotive. I know you don't. Yeah. What do you remember? Nothing.
I remember. I remember.
Zilch. Zip.
The Volkswagen Beetle. Oh, the flat tire.
Oh, I just mentioned that, didn't I? Anyway, this puzzler was automotive, historic, folkloric, and God knows what else. And the essence of it was sent in by a listener named Stephen Salone. But, of course, I had to unclarify it. And here it is in its fully unclarified version. Jerry had worked lots of summers, and he'd finally accumulated enough money to buy himself a brand-new 68 Volkswagen Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dark and stormy September night when Jerry and his college roommate pulled the brand-new Beetle out of the dealership parking lot in Chicago on their way to school at the University of Wisconsin. You with me so far? In Madison.
Yeah.
Now, since the thing was brand new and hadn't been broken in, they decided that they should drive the brand new shiny bug on the back roads so as not to be tempted to exceed the break-in speed, which I think was 14 miles an hour for this vehicle. They were afraid that if they drove it on the highway, you know, they'd ruin the thing.
Yeah.
Well, the roads they chose were rutted and muddy, and it was quite an adventure. They ran out of gas at one point, and of course, as you might expect, they bounced from one pothole to another, and eventually they had a blowout. Searching for the spare, they find it under the hood, where the engine should have been. And without even reading the instruction manual, they carefully replaced the bad tire with the spare and then put the blown tire where the spare had been. You with me?
I'm with you.
They continued on their muddy route looking for a service station where they could get the flat tire fixed. Well, as luck would have it, a few miles down the road, lo and behold, they come across Helmets German Car Repair, and Wiener Schnitzel Emporium, an oasis, a veritable oasis of European automotive expertise and spiced meat in rural Wisconsin.
All in the same place.
All under one roof. No sooner had they pulled up the driveway, carefully navigating through the mud-splattered windshield, when out popped Helmet, who immediately said to the driver, "You here to get the tire fixed, eh?"
And Jerry said, "We are." How did you know? And that's the question. How did Helmut know?
And don't forget, in those days, there was no such thing as this undersized little spare tire that many cars have today. All the tires were exactly the same.
Yeah, in fact, the spare was exactly the same make and size and everything. And Helmut had never seen them before.
Sure.
And I'll admit, he was taking a guess.
Yeah.
But that's what makes him
That's what makes it interesting.
Interesting that it was a very educated guess.
Yeah.
And he made the guess based on the fact that the windshield washer in a Volkswagen of that era operated on the tire pressure of the spare tire.
Which was pretty clever.
And when if the tire pressure dropped down enough, then the washer would stop working and saving enough air in the spare so you could use it as such. But if you had a flat and you had no air whatsoever,
then you'd have no windshield washer.
And thus a mud-splattered windshield.
So who's
our winner?
The winner is Antonio Otero. Wow. I mean, the winner here is Antonio Otero from the Bronx, New York. You know what I'm talking about? You got a problem with that? Hey, Antonio, you have won the Puzzler, and therefore you will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that $26 certificate, you can get a Best of Car Talk CD or so many things that I can't even begin. I already did begin, didn't I?
You already selected
I can't even end.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I'm going to say, semi-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. That's a hint, so stick around for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, feel free to call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Aaron calling from Vancouver.
Hi, Aaron. 1A or 2s?
It's actually just 1A, can you believe that?
Really? Just like the king?
That's right.
Whoa!
Of course, my brother's referring to Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just purchased a 94 Mazda pickup. It's a V2300.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I got a pretty sweet deal on this, but this little pickup has a little bit of a history. So I did take a risk. However, situation is there's some sort of lubricant that seems to be leaking underneath the dash panel, and it's right in the center. And it shows up. I'll clean it up, and it shows up again.
It's right in the center from left to
right? It's right in the center, yeah. It's almost like under a heat duct of some sort. But, you know, I look into the engine. It's a small four-cylinder, 2.3 liter. There's not much engine back there, and I just have no idea.
What color is this thing?
What color is the engine or the
fluid? We need to know what color is...
The truck! The truck! What color is the truck?
The fluid and the carpet.
The truck is red, right?
Okay, now the truck is silver.
Okay.
And the fluid is like a brown-based lubricant of some sort that feels like oil in your fingers.
Well, does it have air conditioning?
No, it doesn't. Okay, it's a really
air conditioning. A V2300, they don't even have windows.
Right. I'm lucky I got any kind of airflow whatsoever.
All right, I was asking.
Okay.
I'm just trying to narrow it down.
It's brown and it's slippery.
It's slick.
Could it be brake fluid?
That's a good call.
Brake fluid is sort of slippery.
That's right.
All we got to do now is get it to the middle of your dashboard.
Yeah, that's tough.
And that's going to be a problem.
Right.
Where's the brake, or that, what is it, a brake booster?
The master cylinder is on the other side of the firewall.
Yeah, but it's unfortunately not in the center.
Right.
But this is a is a manual shift.
It is, 5-speed.
It could be leakage from the clutch master cylinder.
Okay. Now, would that force anything to do with the clutch, like, you know?
Eventually, it would become difficult to shift and then impossible to shift.
Okay.
Here's the other thing that comes to mind, and I don't know what Canadian vehicles are like and whether this thing has a vehicle speed sensor or a speedo cable, but the other source of these kinds of underdash leaks is a speedometer seal. There's a cable on cars of yesteryear. All cars had a cable that ran from the transmission to the back of the speedometer. And this truck, being a 94, may still have one. The seal could be gone, allowing transmission fluid to travel up the cable, leak out the end of the cable, and then kind of travel on the outside of the cable and drip down near the middle of the dashboard. And that's the thing I like the most.
I like it.
That sounds great.
Doesn't it?
I'll try it.
And what we're saying is the stuff is not coming directly from someplace and dropping down in the middle of the dashboard.
It's traveling along some
wire. It's traveling along some wire.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Stick your noggin under there, Aaron, and you'll see it. You'll say, aha!
You'll see that little drop on the bottom of a wire. You'll trace it back, and you'll say, aha! Uh-huh.
And then you'll realize you needn't have wasted 10 minutes with us. See you later.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Take care.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tony from Bowling Green, Ohio.
Hey, Tony, you don't sound like you were originally from Bowling Green, Ohio.
Very good, very good. Originally from the Cleveland area, actually.
The Cleveland area? You sound like you come from New York.
Yeah, so it's the Tony. Say your first name again.
Tony.
Tony.
Yeah, well.
Let's say Tony.
It sounds like it. Tony. This is Tony. You sound like one of us paisans.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's going on, man?
Hey, I have a 93 Ford Explorer that has had a significant drop in gas mileage recently.
Really?
And what has the mileage gone from and to?
Well, the way I gauge it, I used to fill up maybe once a month because I didn't drive it too far, just back and forth to work, basically. And now I'm probably filling up every 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, so it's probably almost half, I'd say.
You didn't try the match test, huh?
No.
No.
Okay, that might be a good idea.
No, I wouldn't recommend it. I was just asking. I'll tell you, we have had, over the years, a rash of, in fact, I remember a period of one winter where we replaced dozens and dozens of thermostats on Explorers and Ford pickup trucks. Because the thermostats were opening up too soon, making the engine run too cool, and dropping the mileage down. And at the same time, by the way, it would lead to oil dilution because the gas that wasn't
It didn't vaporize, and it stayed as liquid in the cylinder and then leaked down into the crankcase.
And diluted the oil. So it could be that that's it, or you could have a bad injector. I mean, does it seem to run smoothly?
Yeah. Pretty runs the same, but I think that makes sense because it does take forever for my truck to heat up.
Ah,
there you go.
Is that new?
No, not really.
Well, it might not be new, but it might be. It has much more of an effect on it in the cold weather.
Ah.
So that in July, August, September, October, you don't care how long it takes for your truck to heat up because you don't even have the heat on.
Right, right.
But once November and December roll around, you start noticing, geez, you know, either my truck is taking a long time to heat up, I'm turning into a sissy.
Pretty soon I'll have heated seats.
Yeah.
What, you don't have heated seats?
Nope.
So I think that could be it, and it's very easy to determine. Your mechanic will simply put a thermometer, or actually we now have these infrared thermometers. We don't even have to, you know,
take off the cap.
Do anything. We can just aim it at the top hose or the bottom hose, in the case of your vehicle, and it'll tell us what the temperature is. And if it's too low, you need a stat, brother.
Excellent.
So you need a stat.
Yep.
See you, Tony.
Thanks for calling.
Guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Why is it, by the way, that if this observation is correct, women love heated seats and men hate them? I mean, I have noticed that there are many more women who think that heated seats are great. And I've never, ever met a guy who even thought they were good and hates them.
Yeah.
You noticed the same thing? That's my question. And if you have...
If it's going to get me in trouble, the answer is no, I haven't noticed the same thing.
All right. If you had noticed it, why would that be?
Well, I'll just give you a personal observation. I don't like heated seats.
I don't either.
Yeah. Only because when I finally realize that it's on, it's burning. But my wife does. My wife says, I would never have a car
without
a heated seat.
I don't get it.
And I always, when she says that, I always tell her she's a sissy.
I suppose we could do a poll, ask people to go to the website. I mean, this is the kind of science that has to take place.
Pseudoscience.
This is pseudoscience. I mean, it would be interesting to know, of all the people who visit the website, cartalk.com, we'll put a little questionnaire up there.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out how to phrase the question so as to offend the smallest number of people. Okay. We'll work on it.
We'll try that.
In the meantime, give us a call, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Luella in Rome, Georgia.
Luella. L-O-U-E-L-L-A.
You know what? You're a genius. That is exactly how you spell
it. That's how I spelled it on my little sheet of paper here.
He was looking over my shoulder.
Where are you from?
Rome, Georgia. We're in the northwest part of Georgia, about an hour north of Atlanta and an hour south of Chattanooga, and you can throw a rock and hit Alabama.
Rome, Georgia.
Rome, R-O.
Oh, Rome, like Rome, Italy.
Exactly. We have seven hills like that, too.
Okay.
Excellent.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, we're with you. Go ahead, Luella.
Okay, this is a philosophical question for you all.
Yes.
I have two teenage daughters.
Oh, brother.
I know, we're in trouble already. And the older one has expressed an interest in learning to drive a manual transmission, which we don't have a car with a manual transmission, but I am just wondering, in this day and age, is it worth the blood, sweat, and tears to teach two teenage girls how to drive a manual transmission, or should I just always make sure they have cab money?
Well, in this day and age, I would have to say it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's fun to drive a stick shift, but in the old days, it used to be a thing that you would do to save money.
Right.
Oh, buying a stick shift car, you mean?
Buying a stick shift car. The other reason was that people thought automatic transmissions broke frequently and cost a fortune to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true anymore.
Right.
Well, part of it's true. They don't break frequently, but they still cost a fortune to fix. And in fact, they cost a bigger fortune to fix.
Oh, they do. But they just don't break as they used to.
And automatics now get just as good mileage as the standard shift cars.
Sure.
You know.
And the clutches wear out on standard shift cars, and that takes care of that.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you if anybody made like a Kevlar clutch or anything. I don't know.
Wait. Why do they want to do this?
Well, you know, she's a freshman in college, and I think she may have run across her first manual transmission, and it's just a challenge.
You know what? She should do it. I disagree with my brother. I mean, while it may be unnecessary to know how to drive stick shift because the vast majority of cars sold are automatics, it's nice to know. And it takes, with the right boyfriend, she could learn to drive stick shift in an hour or two. At least well enough so that in an emergency.
Right, which is what you think about with girls. You want them to be able to drive anything, you know, a tank if they have to.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you can imagine any one of a million scenarios where it would be beneficial to be able to drive a stick shift car or, for example, a truck.
Right.
Lots of trucks are stick shift. What if she had to drive a truck? What if she had to get out of town in a hurry and move, and she had to drive a truck, and it only had a stick shift?
Right.
Yeah. Well, so that's one.
Right.
What's the other 999?
Well, I can't think of any right now. I mean,
yeah. Well, no. And where do you come up with somebody who's foolish enough to loan you their stick shift?
A boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you know, what if she goes to junior year abroad and she goes to the Greek island of Samos?
Yes.
It could happen, right?
She's going to like this idea.
They ain't got no automatics in Samos.
You mean they ain't got no stinking
automatics? They ain't got no stinking automatics. And all the Greek guys are going to be chasing her all over the place. She's probably got blonde hair and blue eyes.
She exactly does.
And she's going to need to drive anything that she can get her hands on.
Yeah, so she
and drive
escape
fast.
To make a fast getaway.
Yeah. And if she does find a boyfriend who is willing to teach her how to drive his stick shift car,
right,
she should dump him right after she learns because this kid is a moron.
Truly. Well, all right.
But that's the easiest way to learn. You're not going to buy a stick shift car.
Not just for this, because
no.
It would be trashed. And I have another, you know, I have a 15-year-old coming behind her, so.
Yeah, you got to.
And, of course, once she learns, the older one learns, then the other one's going to have to learn as well.
Right. No. Although her main concern is why the driver's side makeup mirror isn't any bigger.
Well, that could be remedied, too.
Driver's side, she calls that a makeup mirror.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Luella, good luck.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate
your
advice.
But with the right teacher, she can really learn pretty fast.
Pretty quickly, since she already drives.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's encouraging.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Luella.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, it's time for us to take a break and give our stations a chance to update their listeners.
What kind of an update do they need? You're still listening to these two morons? That's an update?
Why not? We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your phone calls in just a minute.
A million miles of asphalt bringing me home. As long as I
without my car.
And even though tattoo parlors report a steep drop in sales of I Heart NPR tattoos, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I said earlier was semi-automotive.
You did say that.
And it is. I think you'd have to agree.
I'll find out.
This was sent in by someone named Bill Kochuk. I don't know where Bill's from.
I used to watch his TV show.
Yeah, I did, too. This is the guy with the shaved head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I had to change it around and obfuscate it a little bit. I had to add 4 or 5 paragraphs of obfuscation and clarification. But
see, if only the people listening could figure out which part of it he sent in and which part of it you've got on that yellow sheet of paper.
Well, here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
Last year...
He's on the yellow sheet.
Not only going to use his email. Last year, a friend of mine and his wife went on vacation to Key West, and they spent most of their time either sport fishing on the high seas or carousing on Duval Street. And my wife and I prefer a very different kind of vacation. We went hiking and camping and using Stone Age toilet facilities. And so we spent most of our vacation in the woods in California and the Pacific Northwest. When we had returned from our trips, we compared notes. I said to my friend that on our vacation, we saw something that, when written down, has all 5 vowels, and the vowels make up 5 of the 7 letters in the word. Okay.
A, E, I, O, and U were in the same word.
In the same word, 5 vowels, they were in the same 7-letter word. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, we saw not just one, but a few of these things. My friend said, when we got to Key West, we also saw something that, when written down, has all 5 vowels in its 7 letters. In fact, we saw quite a few of these as well. Each of us wrote down our 7-letter words, and then we exchanged papers. They were the same word. We both wrote down the same word. But what I saw and what he saw were very different things. The question is, what did each of us see? And there are all kinds of hints in here.
There are?
Hundreds. Well, maybe 3.
There are hints.
There are hints. All the hints, 7-letter word, all 5 vowels. You know, think about where they went and the fact that it's semi-automotive. All of those things are hints. I won't say any more, but if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of an authentic George Rhodes full-size audiokinetic sculpture. And send it to...
It's getting interesting, isn't it?
Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, please give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Ellen Fassman.
Hi, Ellen.
I'm here in Concord, California.
Is that where the Concord grapes come from?
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm just checking.
Yeah. So I spilled some jelly in my stick shift, and it's very hard for me to get the car into gear. It
you
sticks.
Spilled jelly?
I spilled some jelly. I was spreading some jam on my bagel while I was driving.
While you were driving?
Yes.
So I trust you were stopped at a light. And
no, she was
tell driving. Tell us you were stopped at a light.
I probably was stopped. I mean, I usually wait until I get to a stoplight to spread my jelly.
I mean, it does take 2 hands to spread the jelly on
the
bagel.
Yeah, it does. And a big blob of it must have gone into the stick shift, right inside the apparatus, because I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to add
when you say stick shift,
what,
it's
you know?
This is a manual shift car? No, it's an automatic.
It's an automatic, yeah.
It's an automatic shift. Right, so it's a floor shift.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially in the morning, I have a very hard time getting it into drive. I feel like the whole lever's going to break.
I mean, how much jelly could you have spilled? Or is it?
I don't know.
Is this something that happens all the time, Ellen?
No.
And you're saying that you spilled the jelly, and within minutes?
The next day.
Actually, it started sticking. It did start sticking it toward the end of my drive to work. I mean, I remember it felt like there was some kind of tension.
What kind of jelly was this?
Strawberry jam.
Oh, it wasn't jelly. It was jam.
Yeah.
It must be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
I was just thinking the same thing myself.
Well, I can understand strawberry jam more than I can understand jelly because strawberry jam, it's got little seeds in it.
Yeah.
Here's what I would do. I would spray the area where you spilled the jelly.
Exactly.
With Fantastic.
Okay.
And just hope that some of it gets down through the cracks.
Okay.
And keep spraying the
and
stuff.
And as you spray it, you move the shifter back and forth.
Good.
And
I'll
it should
that.
Get easier and easier. If it doesn't, it means the problem is not there, and this was entirely a coincidence.
Okay.
Boy, the chances of that are
pretty small.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way,
are you going to admonish her for using two hands?
I'm going to reprimand her.
Reprimand?
I think.
See, my brother used to teach high school.
Yes, I
and
did.
And he got experience reprimanding people.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But he tries it. I mean, he tries it around here. We just give him a slap in the back of the head.
You can't go putting stuff on your bagel using two hands.
I know. It's very bad. It's very illegal.
It really is bad.
I know. I admit it. I have to stop doing that.
Are you going to stop?
Yes, I will.
You could have done this, Ellen. You could have jellied your bagel before you got into the car.
True.
Or before you started moving. At some point, you got into the car with the car not in motion. In other words, you stopped the car, you went out, you got your bagel with the jam.
Yeah.
And when you sat in the car, you could have taken care of the jellying thing.
She was late.
Before you got in motion.
No.
I know.
She was a little bit late.
But I'll tell you, eating jelly on anything in a moving car is dangerous because when that jelly slides off and starts making its way toward that $100 blouse you're wearing, that's when you're going to crash your car.
I know.
Because you're going to take some evasive action and something awful is going to happen.
I know. I think they need to invent some kind of a robot for feeding people driving.
Yeah, IV. IV bagels.
Okay.
Ellen.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, but brother, I'm glad I'm not driving around where you drive around.
See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Oh boy. 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Christine. And I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Christine with a CHR?
CHR it is.
Okay.
Las Vegas.
I have a 1999 Chevy Cavalier Z24, and I've had it for 4 years. And all of a sudden, I was driving it one day, and I was driving it all morning, got in my car in the afternoon, and I started to get a headache and feeling like I was going to fall asleep.
Oh.
I pulled over, got out, started to feel a little bit better, got back in the car, it happened again.
Oh.
And this kept happening for about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Anyway, I started rolling the windows down because it perpetually got worse.
Good idea.
Then it was chilly one day. I turned the heat on, and that made it much worse.
Much worse.
So I took it into a dealership. He said that it was the heating system. It would be about $1,000 plus. So I thought, you know, I want a second opinion. Took it to another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Said that the muffler was extended too far and that there was a leak where the oil is coming out. So I've got two separate opinions.
They're both wrong.
Yeah,
you know deep down that they're wrong. That's why you figure you take a shot with us. I mean, you already got two wrong answers. Might as well
get
a third
one.
Right. Well, maybe third and fourth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe any of those at all.
Yeah.
No, and whatever my brother says, I'm not going to believe him either.
Well, this is a mystery. It's been going on for a month, and I'm to the point where I'm looking for another car.
Well, did you smell anything when you were getting this headache?
No.
Yeah, that's what I
because
thought.
Because the culprit is carbon monoxide, which is colorless and odorless and tasteless.
Exactly.
You know, kind of like our show.
As soon as you described it, both of our heads, I'm sure, said carbon monoxide.
And the most likely candidate is an exhaust leak under the hood, and somehow that exhaust is getting drawn in through, not somehow, but in fact it is getting drawn in through the ventilation system.
Right.
And the most likely candidate is the exhaust manifold on these cars. Either the gasket is leaking or there's a small crack in the manifold. And it may be so small that it's hard for them to detect. But the easiest way to detect this that we've discovered is to use our exhaust.
Put one of the mechanics in the car to close all the windows. We lose a lot of guys. Well, you know, they don't usually die. And they can't get any stupider.
I know, and I actually asked one auto mechanic if he'd take my car for a week and just drive around. He didn't even.
See, I can't spare the brain cells.
Off my rocker.
Yeah, yeah. No, most of them can't spare the brain cells. I mean, you know, those brain cells don't grow back. So no. Once they're gone forever.
Yeah.
We use our exhaust gas analyzer, which is very, very sensitive to carbon monoxide. Now, has anyone else driven this car and felt the same thing?
Yes.
Oh, so you got...
I actually swapped my roommate, and she took it for a few days, and she'd come home from work sick and exhausted. She'd go right to bed with a headache.
Oh, you got to die. You got to fix this, like, tomorrow. If you can't fix it, you got to drive the car into a river.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, no, this really is, seriously, this is really dangerous.
But it's not going to be hard to fix. You just need someone to think clearly about it. Obviously, the guys you've taken it to have had way too much exposure also to carbon monoxide. So you need to find someone clear.
And I am in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
and you are in Las Vegas.
There's that too. Right. So you need to find some clear thinker. But they've got to do some tests, and when they do, they'll find that there's an exhaust leak. It's going to be pretty simple to find.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
And do it soon, Christine, because we can tell you're losing ground fast. You called us.
Thank you so much.
Just think about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, oh boy.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is Richard. I live near Talent, Oregon, which is near Ashland.
Hi, Richard. Talent.
You live near it, huh? So that means you live out in the boondocks.
Well, not too far, about 3 miles.
Can you see anybody else's house?
Afraid so.
You can. Oh, you know
afraid
what?
So.
And you don't like it.
So what's cooking, Richard?
Well, I'm planning a grand road trip in my 64 Dodge Dart convertible.
Oh!
I knew you were going to laugh.
Really? What color is it?
It's white.
White.
Anyway, I'm going to drive from here down to Sacramento and take Highway 50 at least as far east as Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then back to Chicago and take Route 66 to Santa Monica.
Wow.
Now, my brother's offered to follow along with a pickup load of spare parts. And since I know there's a Dodge Dart expert here,
yeah,
I just wondered if you could advise me as to what spare parts he ought to carry.
Another Dodge Dart.
Maybe
I thought you were just going to say an engine and transmission.
Well, as you know, this is an extraordinarily reliable vehicle.
And it has the advantage of having only 11 moving parts. Unlike modern cars.
Yeah.
I mean, modern cars.
And that includes the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just for the convertible.
Oh, 12 moving parts. I mean, modern cars, while they have many conveniences, you know, and safety features, are very, very complex. But your car is really simple. I mean, if the engine goes, that's the end of your trip. You know, you drive the car into a ravine and you finish the trip with your brother-in-law in the pickup truck. But that's not likely to happen if you maintain a reasonable speed. Are you guys going to have walkie-talkies or something?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be fun because you need to keep each other awake.
Yep.
Yeah.
But so, don't use them without thinking about it because they're no better than cell phones when it comes to driving.
No, yeah. But when you feel something's going wrong, you can ask him if he sees any parts falling off.
Yeah, and ask him to stop right. And pick them up, and you'll meet him at the next coffee stop. And then you can decide whether to put them back or just throw them in the trunk.
But things you could change easily. I would bring a fuel pump, a set of points and a condenser, a coil, you know, an alternator. You might as well bring one of those along. Obviously, belts and hoses.
Sure.
You know,
and
yeah, I'll
and of course,
all those before I start.
And,
yeah.
And of course, an engine and transmission.
I was going to just say another 64 Dodge Dart.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, this is going to be a great trip.
No, and if you take too much stuff along, there won't be any element of surprise. In order to be able to tell the story with authenticity, you have to be able to tell people after you survive the trip how you managed at a roadside barbecue grill to forge a crankshaft
yeah.
out of an alternator and the ashtray. Well, Richard, we hope you have the time of your life.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to. My wife's not going to go very far.
That's why we know you're going to have the time of your life. Have a great time and send us pictures.
I'm going to.
You don't really have to take anything. Just go.
Yeah. I am.
Yeah, what the heck?
See you later, Richard.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks.
65. That is the best car. If you had to take this trip, that's the car to do it in.
Oh, yeah. Nice and simple.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, right.
If you had a choice between this and an E320, tell the truth. Never mind. Don't tell the truth.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another. The E320 would be uneventful.
Of course. You'd get there. You'd know you were going to get there unless it snowed.
I'm telling you, when this guy has to make a crankshaft using a roadside barbecue grill and the ashtray.
Exactly.
He's going to melt down the ashtray.
Yeah. And a rock.
That's going to be a story.
So he's
going to tell his grandchildren.
Anneal it. Yeah. Here we go, man.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Pontchartrain, Chow Mein, Quiche Lorraine, Champagne, and Candy Cane Weight Gain Campaign, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, who has a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is you, Louis Dewey, known to the construction workers, taking up all the good parking spaces in Harvard Square, as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1110, Promenade, through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, Car Talk Classics.
That's right. I mean, our staff recently, you ready for this? Yeah. Selected our 50 least lousy shows of all time and made them available for download.
How did they choose them?
Well, here's what they did. First, our lawyers threw out the ones that were clearly slanderous. Then, the staff eliminated the episodes with the bogus puzzlers, the ones where you fell asleep, and the ones where we didn't answer a single question correctly.
Okay, by my count, that leaves 3 episodes.
Well, they bent the rules a little bit, but you can download 1, 10, or all 50 shows, and you can see the full list at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though text messages select NPR and then type ENUF whenever we say it, this is NPR.